Welcome on the program, Andrew.
Good morning.
Now, it's an exciting prospect, the idea of space mining, rather. Is it a new idea?
It's relatively new. It's developing very rapidly. One of the reasons why we're talking is because we've got at the university this week the third off-Earth mining forum. So we're gathering people from around the world to talk about mining in space. And so the first one we ran 4 years ago. At that time, we didn't really have a strong idea of what would be mined, but right now they're really talking about water as being the main thing that they're going to be looking at mining on Mars, on the Moon, and on asteroids.
Indeed, it's quite an interesting thing. I think many people might have imagined it or read about it through science fiction, but now the actual idea of taking now some of the practices we do it's well established across the Earth, now taking it into outer space is quite an exciting thing. How will space mining change the way we conduct space exploration, though?
Well, part of what we're trying to do, or part of what's happening in this latest phase of moving into space, is just trying to set up an economy where transactions can be done in space, and the idea would be that someone would produce some water in space, someone would buy it, and that water would be used to do various things in space. You can imagine it would be helpful for things like space tourism, but one of the early applications of it's going to be separating the water into hydrogen and oxygen and using it for rocket fuel.
Okay, so just to kind of get around this idea of setting up a market-based thing, in terms of, is it likely that space agencies would be selling to other space agencies?
Space agencies are more likely just to be customers. There are companies that are that are setting up to do this mining and to do the trading. Governments are getting involved. The government of Luxembourg has committed to mining in space as a technology they want to develop on their territory. So we've got representatives from the government of Luxembourg here this week talking about that. But really, I think it's going to be more driven by commercial interests rather than space agencies.
Okay, now you spoke about water being the most likely resource to be mined. Are there any other resources that will be mined on Mars?
Well, one of the early uses, they call it in-situ resource utilization, IRSU, which is one of the things that, ISRU, which is one of the things that people, the terms that they bandy around. Water, obviously, would be early. Another one is just simply using the material, the soil there, to build buildings, to protect launch sites, and to protect people from radiation and so on. So probably after water, it would simply be what they call regolith, the soil of Mars, and then they'd start looking at other minerals.
Okay, and in terms of the actual task of both mining and getting the equipment to Mars, are these going to be almost entirely conducted by robots, or what's the human element involved in setting up this infrastructure and then indeed doing the jobs before them?
Well, again, this is an area where we're looking at the technology that's being used on Earth, and you know, we're talking a lot now about autonomous vehicles, driverless cars, and we have mines in Australia. Australia is a world leader in this area of automating mines. So there are some mines operating in Western Australia that don't have any people in them. So the idea of an automated mine is not something which is alien to us. It's not something which would be done in space, but we're not here. And so the idea of mining in space with robots makes even more sense than it does on Earth because of the risks to humans and that sort of thing. So, yeah, you're right. Initially, most of this work's going to be done by robots. And so those robots need to be able to think for themselves because it takes so long for the signals to get to Mars and back. You don't really want humans in the loop that much. You want the machines to be able to make decisions for themselves.
Interesting. Now, earlier you mentioned that a lot of this was being driven by private commercial firms. Are there any firms that have confirmed that they want to be involved in this project early on?
Yeah, there's a couple of companies that set up for mining asteroids. At least one set up for mining the moon. So far, to my knowledge, we don't have a company that's saying, yes, I want to mine on Mars. The people who are looking at drilling for water or ice on the surface of Mars are really, again, to come back to your earlier point, that this is where space agencies are driving things a bit at the moment. So NASA has chosen some sites on Mars. Some of those look quite good. They look a bit like glaciers and that sort of thing here on Earth, and again, trying to use an Earth analog, so looking at something on Earth that looks like what there is on Mars and see if we can come up with the technology to mine it there.
Now, you're listening to 2SER's 107.3, The Monday Daily. I'm joined by Professor Andrew Dempster, who's the director of the Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research at the University of New South Wales. Now, we're talking about the prospect of mining abroad, and I don't just mean overseas, I mean out in space. The prospects of mining, indeed, on the Moon and even on Mars, the red planet, could fast become a reality. And I suppose the question is then, Professor, how far down the track are we looking before mining could be set up on planets or even the Moon?
Well, we know that the plans for colonising Mars are sort of decades into the future. You know, people are signing up for Mars 1, but they don't really know when they'll get to travel, if they ever do. But when you talk about these really quite expensive projects and very long time frames, these are not things that put mining companies off. When mining companies are developing resources on Earth, they work in very long time frames and they work with very large sums of money. So that side of it, which to the mere mortals might seem quite daunting, isn't necessarily something which puts mining companies off. So people in this business are looking at the resources that are available in space and thinking, yeah, well, we can probably do this.
Now, just quickly as well, I'm sure some people are wondering about this. What might be some of the environmental effects of mining on the Moon? Are there any things that could happen that could affect our lives on Earth if we were to undertake mining on the Moon? Would it change, people always talk about, the tides. Would they be affected if we started mining on the Moon? Would anything around that change at all?
Nothing significant to do with tides, but there are a number of interesting ethical issues that arise. All cultures in the world relate to the Moon. You know, there might be people who've never seen snow or never seen a tree, but all cultures have seen the Moon, and so the Moon's actually quite important. Asteroids, completely not important. So those sort of considerations need to be taken into account when people might be sensitive about mining on the Moon. There are various arguments you can make from an environmental point of view. You can think that, well, if we are mining an asteroid, then we're not damaging any ecosystem because they're inert, and that might be a good thing from an environmental point of view. A bad thing from an environmental point of view might be that just the psychology of the way people think. And if people think, well, okay, if we just think of our resources coming from the Earth, then obviously they're finite, they're limited, and we need to be restricting population and restricting climate change and things like that so that we look after the planet better. But if you're saying, oh, we'll go into space and we have unlimited resources, then the way people think may be worse from an environmental point of view. So that there's all sorts of interesting discussions to be had around this topic.
Indeed, there certainly are. It's been absolutely fascinating to chat with you, Professor. Thank you for joining the Monday Daily.
Oh, thank you.